My friends, welcome to Greenwich, a town for all seasons. A community with a bountiful history like Greenwich, Connecticut is a special place in our hearts. This is our shared inheritance, offering us the opportunity to once again savor and celebrate the flavors of our past, pass it on to those who follow, and delight in this place we call home. My name is Jeffrey Bingham Mead, a descendant of Greenwich's founders, and I'm your host. I'm glad to have you with us today. May our journey together be just as engaging and treasured as those whose lives and legacies fascinate us today.
Coming up on today's show,
a true American hero and a gentleman epitomizing the greatest generation, H. Allen Larson served nobly in World War II as one of the legendary, renowned Flying Tigers in China. We received news that H. Allen Larson died recently. He and William L. Dibble co-authored China in the Eyes of Flying Tigers. We met in Beijing in September 2015. On today's show, you'll hear an encore broadcast of my conversation with H. Allen Larson. Our deepest gratitude goes to this hero of the Chinese and American peoples and to his family for sharing him with us. We'll have all this and more as today's show unfolds.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these important messages.
I love coffee, and so should you. Coffee Cafe Roasters is a unique gem with its trendy, chic, and upscale aesthetic and a friendly staff who make you feel welcomed the moment you walk through the door. 118 Greenwich Avenue, Greenwich, Connecticut. Call 203-661-8300. Hello, everyone. This is Jeffrey Bingham Mead on Radio 1490 WGCH, Greenwich, Connecticut, USA, and FM 105.5 FM and WGCH.com anywhere live streaming on the internet. Did you know that frequent hand washing is one of the best ways to avoid getting sick and spreading illness? When you touch people, surfaces, and objects throughout the day, you accumulate germs on your hands. You can infect yourself with these germs by touching your eyes, nose, or mouth, or spread them to others. Washing your hands frequently can help limit the transfer of bacteria, viruses, and other microbes. It's generally best to wash your hands with soap and water. Over-the-counter antibacterial soaps are no more effective at killing germs than is regular soap. Wet your hands with clean running water, either warm or cold. Then apply and lather well. Rub your hands vigorously for at least 20 seconds. Remember to scrub all surfaces, including the backs of your hands, wrists, between your fingers, and under your fingernails. Rinse well. Dry your hands with a clean towel or air dry them. Frequent hand washing offers great rewards in terms of preventing illness. Adopting this habit can play a major role in protecting your health and the health of others. Learn more at cdc.gov, the official website of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Thank you. My name is Jeffrey Bingham Mead, your host. Contact me anytime by email at greenwichatownforallseasons@gmail.com. Check out the show's news blog at greenwichatownforallseasons.blogspot.com. Are you on Facebook? Well, I hope you are. Look up and join the show's Facebook group. Social media groups I recommend joining are, you know you're from Greenwich, if administered by town resident Judy Goss, Images of Greenwich, Connecticut, administered by Jim Ramsey, the Nostalgia Greenwich, and the Portchester, New York Historical Archive, administered by Norm Davis. Tune in to Greenwich, a Town for All Seasons, every other Wednesday morning, 9 to 9:30 a.m. in the Eastern Time Zone. Can't listen to us in real time? Well, we've got you covered with archived shows posted in the shows and hosts section of WGCH.com and on podcasts.com and on SoundCloud. My My friends, welcome to Talk of the Town on Greenwich Town for All Seasons. I'm Jeffrey Bingham Mead, your host. One of my first guests in 2016, when both my broadcast career began and the Marvels of China Pathways to the Pacific Rim show started on Radio 1490 WGCH, died on March 11, 2020. During World War II, H. Allen Larson joined the United States Air Force and was dispatched to serve under the command of General Clairely Chennault with the legendary Flying Tigers. Allen and I met quite by coincidence in Beijing when he and I and many others attended the 70th year commemoration of the end of the Second World War in Beijing in September 2015. He was as delightful as they come from the greatest generation. And while in Beijing, we chatted about a time when the world was in turmoil and in need of heroes. H. Allen Larson was one of them. To meet H. Allen Larson and others of the legendary Flying Tigers left a permanent impression on me, as did my journey to a place where my own father served as one of the U.S. China Marines at the end of World War II. It turns out that after the war, my late father and Allen knew each other. Allen moved to the Coscom section of Greenwich, Connecticut, living in a 19th century home built by ancestors of ours, who walked daily from there to the Coscom train station to commute to New York City. What a small world, even then. H. Allen Larson and William L. Dibble co-authored a remarkable book, China in the Eyes of Flying Tigers, 1944 to 1945, which is available on Amazon. While in Beijing, H. Allen Larson handed me a copy of this book over lunch that we enjoyed in the Grand Hyatt Hotel in Beijing. I will cherish it forever. His daughter, Leslie Gotthardt, wrote of her father, quote, "My father was a considerate, engaged person who loved his family, his community, his country, and the world. He never forgot his family, friends, and colleagues, keeping up an extensive correspondence via post and email throughout his life. He shared photos, clippings, and keepsakes that reminded everyone who knew him that he was thinking of them on a regular basis. I miss him and his steady contact. Thinking of you always, Dad. With great appreciation for Margaret, for the loving care and attention that she provided so selflessly. With warmest love, Leslie." Heroes lift our spirits. Heroes inspire us to become better people. Stories of heroic people nourish our hopes, and they strengthen our resolve. We're comforted, and we're encouraged. When we hear from them of hardship, we feel restored. We honor their example. What follows is a conversation, which is one that I had with H. Allen Larson in spring of 2016. Life inevitably hands us setbacks and failings. Goodness knows, people the world over are experiencing challenges to our very lives right now. We cannot help but recognize that the world is a troubled place, rife with warfare, poverty, pandemic, and unrest. As we pause together to honor the life of H. Allen Larson, let us be reminded that there are beacons of light in the cold darkness, that there were then, as there are now, supremely good people whom we can look to and count on to do the right thing. We have an honored guest with us today, a member of America's greatest generation. I would like you to join with me in welcoming H. Allen Larson. He is one of the renowned Flying Tigers from World War II. He was a member of the 1st American Volunteer Group of the Chinese Air Force, commanded by none other than Clairely Chennault. And many of you who are maybe Air Force aficionados probably know the distinction that the planes that the Flying Tigers flew have that great insignia on them. He has a lot of amazing things to share with us today about his time in China. I should mention that we had a chance meeting in Beijing on September 4th, as I recall. It was an amazing thing, and lo and behold, he and his family lived here in the town of Greenwich, Connecticut for 5 years. So imagine that, going to the other side of the world and encountering someone so renowned and special as this. So, Allen, welcome to our show.
Well, thank you very, very much. I've been looking forward to visiting with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today. Now, Alan, you have an amazing amount of history. You are living history. First of all, let's start with your early life. Would you tell us a little bit about that? Where did you grow up?
I was very, very fortunate to grow up in what was called the wealthy town, Brookline, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. It's a suburb of Boston, and my parents, their folks were immigrants from Nova Scotia on my mother's side, and my father was a native of Norway on my father's side, so... it was a very interesting childhood for me.
Oh, very good. Well, thank you. Now, after of course, World War II broke out, America got involved in the war and all. But you enlisted in the Army Air Force, and where you were sent, and then you ended up in China of all places. Talk us through that. How did you end up being in China?
Amazing. Yes, it is amazing. I was in college at the time. Pearl Harbor happened just as we became seniors in high school. Mm-hmm. And so by the time I almost finished college, the first year of college, I was drafted. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get in because I couldn't enlist because I had a weak left eye. but in any event, I was fortunate enough to be called by the Army Air Force recruiter when they came to Fort Devens to pick us to pick out their soldiers from the group who had been drafted. Mm-hmm. And so I was very excited about that, very excited.
Okay. And now when you arrived in China, what were some of your first impressions, and what were the things that surprised you the most about being in China?
Well, that they were very ready to welcome us. It was not just a matter of chance, but they formed corporations to build buildings that we could sleep in, mm-hmm. Buildings in which we could work, buildings in which we could have recreation, watch movies, and so on and so forth. So the Chinese prepared for our being there, mm-hmm. in that latter period of the war, in an excellent fashion. Mm-hmm. They just did a great job for us.
Okay, and where in China were you initially stationed?
Well, our initial goal was to set up in Kunming, mm-hmm. In Yunnan province, which was far enough away from the actual fighting, so that we'd have a chance to get organized. And so the Army Air Force built heavily on that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Right. And if I recall correctly, when we were both in Beijing for the September 3rd, 70th year anniversary of the Victory Day, I understand that you and others, did you make the trip to Kunming when you were over in Beijing back in September?
No.
Okay.
No, we did not go to Kunming from Beijing.
Okay, but have you been back over there by any chance?
Well, not to Kunming, but we've been in China several times since that time.
Oh, okay.
But not to Kunming.
Okay. Oh, very good. Okay. All right. Now, I'll tell you, I was reading a lot about the history of the Flying Tigers, and one of the things that is constantly being referenced is this thing called the hump. They flew over the hump, and they just, and of course, anybody who doesn't know much about history is going to say, what in the world are they talking about? So could you please tell the audience a little bit, what was the hump? Why was it so dangerous?
Well, initially it was very dangerous because the Japanese Army controlled much of northern Burma. Mm-hmm. And in northern Burma there were airfields, and the Japanese were able to fly into the hump area and force the planes from India supplying China, American planes mostly, with the danger of being shot down. Mm-hmm. And during this period of time, the Army including the Chinese and the Brits and the Burmese, worked very hard to push the Japanese back from the northern area and get rid of those airfields so that we could fly a more southern route. Mm-hmm. And that's the route that, fortunately, our squadron was able to use in flying into China.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't as dangerous as it was earlier.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, there were many challenges that faced the Chinese and the American military. So, working together as you did and the others with the Chinese military, how were you able to work together to overcome these challenges, especially in a time of war?
Well, the challenges that came from the Japanese really making moves neutralize as much of the fighting resources that the Americans and the Chinese had together.
Mm-hmm.
And these resources were sited mostly in small airfields.
Right.
And the Japanese made quite an effort to neutralize these small airfields by, attacking them. And the fellows in the American Air Force, as well as the Chinese, were constantly having to move, change locations and so on,
right.
Give up airfields because of the power of the Japanese Army, particularly in the south and eastern parts of China.
Right. Okay.
It was a hairy time.
I'll bet it was. I'll bet it was. Now, thinking back to those years that you were in China, what are some of the special memories that you have of the Chinese people and just of being there?
Well, the Chinese people and I think we're going to cite this again, prepared for us in a way that we could not expect to have had that happen. The facilities that they provided us when we did, move into being soldiers in the Chinese effort. That was a big thing. And we did not run into any hostility that I recognized at all from the Chinese in the work that we were doing and in the times we had off to circulate in area.
Okay.
We were very well received all the way.
Very good. Excellent. Now, I have to say that, and to the audience, you co-authored a book with William Dibble called China in the Eyes of Flying Tigers, 1944-1945. First of all, I have to say I am very flattered and deeply honored that you not only gave me a copy of this when we were both in Beijing in September, but you autographed it for me. And believe me, it is a treasure, and I will treasure it forever.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
A couple of things. First of all, what inspired you to compile the book? And the thing that, well, I'll ask you that, and then I have another question for you about the book. Yes.
A Chinese man who was visiting his sister here in our area in America heard about the book. I heard about the slides that I had, and asked if he could see them. And so 2 years later, a book was published with those slides in it.
Right. Okay.
It was a Chinese man who did that, and from Shanghai.
Wow.
Tremendous man.
It's not only he's not only a tremendous man, but it's a tremendous book. And I say that because it has some incredible color pictures of that period.
Absolutely. The Kodachrome photographs that Bill Dibble and I took, and the good offices of our parents sending us the film and routing around Topeka, Kansas, where he lived, and around Boston and Brookline, where I lived, to get the film to send to us.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was in short supply in those days.
It is amazing. And again, color pictures of that period are very, very rare. They really are. And I just think it's an incredible book. And I would urge people to buy it. What have been some of the responses that you've received from of the book? And how can people acquire copies?
Well, the name of the, I'm sorry to be short on memory, the name of the service on the internet that provides books.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Amazon, is it?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Get in touch with Amazon and look up Dibble and Larson, and you should be able to pick it up.
All right. Well, you know what I will do for you? I have a dedicated blog site, rather, that goes with this radio show. We will put a link there, and we would direct people, our listeners all around the world, to go to that site, and we will put a link to Amazon, and people will be able to order it from there. We'll be delighted to help you with that. Alan, I'll tell you... this has been just an amazing experience. I mean, running into you as I did and meeting you. The other thing we have to part with here, of course, is that after the war, you came back and you and your family ended up living in Greenwich for 5 years.
Yes, it was a great experience for us. I achieved a position in New York, in New York City, and I insisted, if the family was willing to do it, insisted that we live in Greenwich, Connecticut.
Oh.
I said, we've got to go to Greenwich in order to, I don't mind the commute, but I want you to go to the best possible schools. I know they are, and I've heard people talk about them, et cetera, et cetera. And so we were fortunate in being able to, I didn't have money to buy a house in Greenwich, but I had money to pay for them. And, for example, I had a referral from a meeting one time. We have a fellow over in Germany, Alan, he's trying to rent his house, and I understand you're moving to New York. Will you that kind of contact? And I used those contacts right along, and, of course, living on Mead Avenue was a great thrill.
Yes.
John Murphy and I, who owned the house at that point, he and I became tennis and that's how I found out the house was available.
Oh, very, very good. I know that house. I know that house well. One of my ancestors built it in the 1860s.
Yes.
So that's it's a small world. Alan, I'm going to thank you again for being with us today. It has been a pleasure having you with us. You are a living legend. You and the other Flying Tigers. We thank you for your service. It's just been such an honor. We want to stay in touch with you, and I would love to have you back sometime.
Well, I'd like to do that. I'd like to tell you more about the experience in China with those wonderful people.
Definitely.
I must say.
Thank you, Alan.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Hello, everyone. This is Jeffrey Bingham Mead on Radio 1490 WGCH, Greenwich, Connecticut, USA, and FM 105.5 FM and WGCH.com anywhere live streaming on the internet. Did you know that frequent hand washing is one of the best ways to avoid getting sick and spreading illness? When you touch people, surfaces, and objects throughout the day, you accumulate germs on your hands. You can infect yourself with these germs by touching your eyes, nose, or mouth, or spread them to others. Washing your hands frequently can help limit the transfer of bacteria, viruses, and other microbes. It's generally best to wash your hands with soap and water. Over-the-counter antibacterial soaps are no more effective at killing germs than is regular soap. Wet your hands with clean running water, either warm or cold. Then apply and lather well. Rub your hands vigorously for at least 20 seconds. Remember to scrub all surfaces, including the backs of your hands, wrists, between your fingers, and under your fingernails. Rinse well. Dry your hands with a clean towel or air dry them. Frequent hand washing offers great rewards in terms of preventing illness. Adopting this habit can play a major role in protecting your health and the health of others. Learn more at cdc.gov, the official website of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Thank you.
Town-based radio is a long-standing tradition throughout America. 1490 WGCH has been a community fixture for over 50 years, reaching listeners spanning all demographics by providing enriching, educational, and entertaining broadcast experiences. I'm inviting you to join the fun and support Greenwich and Town for All Seasons. Advertising here gives you an advantage by identifying yourself as a supporter of our traditional history and culture. Contact me anytime at greenwichandtownforallseasons@gmail.com. Our rate sheet is posted on Facebook and greenwichandtownforallseasons.blogspot.com. As we start to close today's show, I extend my sincerest thanks to Catherine Laudanier and John Mickey Robinson, Sue Hill McClanachan, and Kevin M.J. O'Connor of the Jeffrey Matthews Group. And listeners to the Greenwich and Town for All Seasons show on Radio 1490 WGCH, Greenwich, Connecticut, USA, FM 105.5 in neighboring Stamford, Connecticut, at WGCH.com, anywhere live streaming globally over the internet. We welcome your support. Contact us at greenwichatownforallseasons@gmail.com or visit our GoFundMe campaign. Thank you. It's time for Rightfully Hers, marking the 100th anniversary of the passage of the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, granting women the right to vote. Grace Callatin Seton was a writer, world traveler, and suffragist. She served as vice president of the Connecticut Woman Suffrage Association. In 1914, she designed the state organization's banner and was in charge of the design of the floats and banners of the Hartford Suffrage Parade. Grace Callatin Seton was active in the war effort, organizing a female ambulance unit in France. She also worked actively on the Liberty Loan campaigns and was among the women in Washington, D.C. in 1917 who raised more than $3 million for the war effort. Following ratification of the 19th Amendment, she worked for equality as a member of the Republican National Committee. During a trip to Europe, she met Scottish-born naturalist Ernest Thompson Seton. They married and settled in Greenwich, having one child, Anne. This is an unprecedented period of hardship and loss for so many here. Longtime and newer Greenwich area businesses are shutting their doors, community events have been canceled, and our leaders have been called to action as never before. We bear witness to remarkable instances of connection and creativity as we strive to emerge triumphant through this crisis. This is living history. Please do your part to preserve it for future generations. Documenting that history provides wellsprings of hope and healing. Keep a journal. Write poetry, pen a script, draw or paint, start a video or audio blog, or take photographs and videos of community life and more. Keep records of how you, your family, and business responded to the crisis. We are living in truly historic times on a global scale that we've never seen quite before. Stay safe, healthy, and well. Be confident. Be kind. Support each other, and we'll emerge stronger than ever. Thank you for listening.